You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
There are times when you just really sense God is wanting to do something. And I don't know about you, but I get a real sense this morning that God just wants to touch people. Hey guys, good to see you. Welcome. You all right? Yeah, all the way from Uganda. Come on. Good to see you. Just as you're here. And I just get a sense this morning that God wants to do something with us. So I've got a load of stuff prepared, but you know what? That's not important. What's important is what God wants to do. Amen. And I really want us to be open, because I want to be open. I've not felt like this for some time. And I am going to share but what's on here. But I'm going to... Father, I just thank you so much that you want to work with us. You want to do something in our lives. You want to affect who we are. You want to infect who we are. You want to come by your Spirit right now, and you want to do something to us, with us, through us, that will impact the world. Oh, Lord, we want to just be so open to what you want to do with us this morning. We want to receive everything you have for us this morning so that we can be everything you've called us to be for you in this world. So, Father, as I share the word, as I share what you've put on my heart, Lord, I pray that it will be a word that brings life, a word that brings revelation to each one of us afresh, that none of us are immune to learning more about you and learning more about us and who we are in you. Oh, Father, thank you for your presence here this morning by your Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're looking at Isaiah 61. The kingdom over everything. And I'm looking at one verse. It's one little verse in a very large chapter, in a very large book, Isaiah, in the whole of the Bible. But if we understand this verse, if we really get God's heart in this verse, it can change our lives. Whether you are a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, however long. Whether you're sat here this morning, you've got no idea who Jesus is, but you're just trying to find out what's going on. What's this Christianity thing all about? This verse is for you as much as it is for us. And it's as much as it is for us as it was for the Israelites thousands of years ago. So let's have a look. I'm going to start by reading the first 9 verses of Isaiah 61, because I know we've been through them a lot already. We've been through these and people have shared over the weeks on this. But I think I want to put it in perspective, the bigger picture of what God is saying here. Okay, so let's put it up. So I'm just going to read it through and just want you to get a sense of the Spirit of God, a sense of what God is saying to the Israelite nation, but also to us as his people. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. That's great. This is an amazing book, and this is an amazing thing that God is. The number of I wills, I just realized how many I will. Do you know when God says I will, there's something we can absolutely guarantee? He will.
Amen.
And so everything he has said here, he will do. Now he wrote this, or this was written by a guy called Isaiah. And he was a prophetic guy that God, by his Spirit, showed Isaiah what he will do. Initially to the nation of Israel. And you've got to remember that the nation of Israel was called to be a people separated for God. A people called to represent him on the earth. That was who they were called to be. And yet they chose to turn away from him. And he knew they would. And so prophetically, he was saying to the people, you're going to be in captivity because of what you've done. Because of the decisions you've made, you will be slaves. You will not be a great nation. You will be slaves of another nation because of your disobedience, because of your sin. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring you out of that in due course. There will be a day when you are not in that place and you are back where you need to be, where you should be, where I have put you. There's a parallel with what God has done with them and with what God has done with us. Because we are the people of God. He's taken us out of our place of slavery into our place of freedom. And that's what this is all about. And this morning, I just really believe God wants to reveal afresh what he's done for us so that we can live in the fullness of it to show the world what it means to be the people of God. That's what it's all about. You see, Isaiah 61, verse 7, this small little bit of the verse of this scripture says this. You can put it up. Instead, so imagine this. So he knows that these people who he has called by name are going to turn away from him. How does that make you feel? Knowing that the people you've cherished, that are the people you've called to be the ones that represent you here on earth, decide to say, no. And yet he says this of them. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. See, this was a promise to a nation that would turn away from him. This was God's heart revealed to a people that chose to go their own way. Not to be captives in a foreign land under the rule of a king. Not to be prisoners of their wrong decisions. But a people living from the shame of what they did. Free from the disgrace of their past. And living with a joy that only comes from knowing the King of Kings. So in all of this, what God is saying is really quite simple. Even though you deserve the shame and humiliation that is the consequence of disobedience and sin, even though you will have to suffer as slaves because of your actions, there will be a time when I will once again free you from this suffering. Not only that, but I will return you to the promised land of your inheritance. I will restore all that you have lost. And even more than that, I will give you blessings far beyond you've ever had before. And these blessings will bring incomparable joy forever. Now, these aren't just about, it's not just about a lovely future, a great time ahead, better times. This is way more than that. You see, God's revealing his plan for the restoration of all of his people. And that includes you and me. We are God's people. If you're sat here this morning and you have professed faith in Jesus Christ, you are God's people. And so these promises are for you and for me. What does he say about us as his people? In Isaiah, it says this, they will be called oaks of righteousness. And what will they do? They will build up the ancient ruins. They will raise up former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. And then he says this, he says, I'm going to change what you do. You're not going to be people who just plough the field. You're not just going to be people who are shepherds. You're going to be priests, and you're going to be ministers of God. He changes who they are and what they do. They are now ministers in the world. Or they will become ministers in the world to reveal God to the world. He's given them a complete job change. That's what we are. You see, when we profess faith in Jesus Christ, we're not just students, teachers, builders, working in a bank, retired. We're ministers of God. He has changed our role. That is who we are. We are ministers of God. Spiritual priests. To reveal God's heart. And that's our go. And why are we talking about go since January? Because that's what we should be doing. That's who we are called to be. People who minister the love of God to the world. But it's better than that. It's better than that. He talks about a double portion. Now, I don't know about you, but I love it when you see these bog-off deals. It's one of those things. I teach business studies at school. And when we get to the bit about marketing, I can say to the class, I said, bog-off. Bog-off. buy one, get one free. And they go, ooh. So you can go home and you can tell your parents to bog off and say, sir said it. They love it. Buy one, get one free. Now, we can think of a double portion as being, well, I've got one, I'll get one more. Double. But when he spoke about this, even to the Israelites, he wasn't talking about, we're going to double the size of land. He didn't. He didn't double what they already possessed. What they got was far greater. What they got was far more. You see, they got an inheritance that was not based on the land, but was based on the joy that they would receive from knowing the Father again. That's the inheritance. That is why it gives us joy everlasting, because the inheritance is far greater than simply getting more stuff. And that's not to say we don't get more stuff. God can bless us in many ways. But I believe this double portion is more than just stuff. You see, one of the things about a double portion, I was looking at this, and you've probably heard it before, is that the double portion was given to the eldest son as an inheritance. So they understood this double portion was more. It was about the sonship and the eldest son. Well, what does that tell us about us? If God wants us to receive a double portion, what he's saying is, your sons and daughters, you're my sons. In fact, I want you to get the absolute best I have for you. I want you to receive way more, because you're my son, you're my daughter. You're going to receive a double portion. You're going to receive what the son, the eldest son, would receive. And who's the eldest son? God's son, Jesus. First son, the firstborn of God. And yet we're called co-heirs. We're invited to be, through Jesus Christ, receivers of the same inheritance that he has. So it goes on to the next. If you look at the Romans 8. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may be able to share in his glory. The blessing of the kingdom. And I really believe this morning God wants us to know in greater measure what it means to be God's children and receive the fullness of all that he has for us. That the double portion is not just something that's just an extra to what you've already got, but it's way, 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 way beyond. More than we can ask or imagine. But we need to live in the truth of that, because that's what brings joy everlasting. I really believe that God wants to take us to a different level this morning in terms of understanding who we are, in terms of knowing what he's done. Some time ago, there was a person that was coming here for a while, and doesn't profess to have a faith that we do. And she comes occasionally, and she's been and so on. And she said to me one day, she said, "Why are the people here so happy?" They're always happy. They're always filled with joy. She could see something different. Joy everlasting. And that's what comes from being a child of God. Because when we know where we've come from, shame, slavery, a place where we, in a sense, have no name, to a place where we have a new name, where we are the children of God, where we have everything, everything that we need from Him, then it should change our complete perspective. So that joy is something that's always in our hearts. And that is, I believe, simply what God wants us to have revelation of this morning. That utter sense, you've given me everything. Even though I didn't deserve anything, I can live in the fullness of all that God has right now, even though I deserve to have none of it. See, that's what we are going to be celebrating next week. Easter is all about the fact that Jesus is alive and what He did in this amazing exchange. See, Jesus died on the cross and then rose on the third day so that we could enter into and come into an amazing relationship with God, the Father. He did it for Israel thousands of years ago by bringing them out of slavery. He did it for us through Jesus on the cross by paying the price for my sin and your sin. So that we can live in the fullness of all that He has. And that's what this scripture is all about. That's what this one verse is all about. You see, Jesus is alive, so you don't have to live in shame. Jesus is alive, so you don't have to live in the disgrace of what you've done in the past. Jesus is alive so that you can live in the blessing of a double portion. Jesus is alive so we can know everlasting joy. And that's it. We are part of the greatest exchange program in history. The greatest exchange program in history. Can we go? I'm sorry, guy. Right at the end. Go straight through everything else. Let's just go to the last two slides. Because I want to finish in a minute. I don't want anything. No, I want more God. I believe God wants to do something with us. And so in a minute, I'm going to ask Mike to come back up and play. And we're going to go back into worship because I just sense that we need to come back into the presence of God and allow him to minister by his Spirit, to minister the truth of what he's done in our lives, to minister the truth of where we've come from and where we now are. Just like Israel, where they came from a place of sin, a place of slavery, a place of not representing this God that loved them so much, to a place where they were. And we are the same. And I just sense that if we do that, if when God comes and by his Spirit, he reveals the truth to us, then that's what's going to change our lives. That's what's going to allow us to live in the joy, to live in the joy of what he's done for each one of us. And so when we go out there and we talk about our go, when we go out there, then what people see is a joy that is beyond all understanding. It is beyond understanding because it's a joy that is not about your situation. It surpasses where you're at. It surpasses what you've got. It surpasses the possessions you have. It surpasses the place you find yourself. It surpasses your circumstances because it is far greater than all of these things. And if you're here this morning and you don't know that joy, because you've never before given your life to Jesus, not turned away from the stuff behind you to what God has for you in your future, then you can do it right now. And if this morning you're here thinking, I just need more of that joy, well, actually what you need is more of the revelation of what brings you that joy. The joy comes from the revelation of knowing what God has done for you. It's no good just saying, give me joy. What we need is revelation. What we need is a greater understanding of what God has done. So, this is what he's done. This is what he's done. What we've done through him on the cross, which is what we're going to be celebrating next week. Okay, so as I said, the greatest exchange scheme in the world ever in the history of humanity. You see, by turning to Jesus and turning away from what we did to where he wants us to be, we exchange our life for his. We exchange our shame for his double portion blessing. We exchange our disgrace for his guaranteed inheritance. We exchange our sin for his forgiveness. We exchange our hate for his love. We exchange our pain for his power. We exchange our hurts for his healing. We exchange our habits and our hang-ups for his Holy Spirit. We exchange our character defects for his character. We exchange our strongholds for his strong tower. We exchange our identity for a new identity in Christ. We exchange our old nature for his new nature. And we exchange our hopelessness with his eternal hope. That is what God has done. Through Jesus Christ, when he put him on the cross and allowed him to take our shame and our sin.